In the early 2000s, prescriptions of medication like Vicodin, Oxycontin, Demerol, and Percocet skyrocketed. The spike, which led to a quadrupling of painkiller sales, was part of a long-term increase of prescribing these medications throughout the last 25 years. By 2010, the United States alone consumed 99% of the world's hydrocodone, most commonly found in Vicodin. And drug overdoses, a majority of them opiates, became the number one cause of accidental death in the United States.
About 2 million Americans are hooked on prescription painkillers, and in 2012, 259 million prescriptions were written. That's one bottle for every American adult. How could that be?
Obviously, these overdoses were a huge issue. So doctors were asked to help crack down on the prescription drug epidemic and stopped prescribing so many painkillers. While it seemed like a good idea on the surface, it's had some catastrophic results. Oftentimes, when a painkiller addict's supply gets cut off from their doctor, it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll stop using. As you may have guessed, they'll find another supply. Heroin. The increase of heroin use is, of course, a nationwide epidemic. However, it hits especially hard in smaller communities, such as Duluth, Minnesota.
It's emerged rather quickly in this community, partly because we're geographically kind of remote.
Gary Olson is the director of the Center for Alcohol and Drug Treatment in Duluth and experiences the effects of the problem firsthand.
It's a smaller number than the people that are abusing pain medications, but at the clinic so far in the last year, we've admitted about 320 patients. And most of those, I would say, are abusing heroin.
Here's Jeff Kazel, the commander of the Lake Superior Drug and Violent Crime Task Force.
Heroin is one of our bigger issues that we have in this area.
Drug epidemics are never a good thing. However, heroin often has more harmful effects than other types of drugs.
Well, I mean, it affects more than just the person using. It affects families, it affects businesses, it affects communities. I mean, you're touching all kinds of lives as a result of somebody being taken advantage of.
The fact that heroin is a street drug also intensifies its negative effects on the community.
The chemical composition of what people buy on the street is unknown. So you don't know whether that drug has been cut with fentanyl, which is the thing that has been alarming us lately because it's causing a lot of overdoses, or other drugs that are combined with it. And we're seeing heroin combined with methamphetamine, for example. And heroin brings big city problems to small communities because the black market in heroin is predominantly run by organized crime. And it brings with the demand for heroin, it brings the crime and violence that's associated with the black market. So it's problematic on a number of different levels.
As an outreach worker for Churches United in Ministry, Deb Holman's biggest concern is the shortage of treatment options for heroin users in Duluth.
You know, you might say you want help today and there's an open bed in 6 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So you might not even live through that, you know? There's just not enough beds and, you know, you gotta wait for everything. Funding, you know, till your Rule 25 is typed up. I mean, they have 10 days to do that. And just the increase with people going to treatment. I mean, I think that's always been an issue, I think, even before heroin, but it makes it even worse now.
Again, here's Gary Olson.
This opioid epidemic has really overwhelmed the chemical dependency treatment system in Minnesota, so we have waiting lists in all of our programs, and there just hasn't been an adequate response, in my opinion, to cope with this uptick in addiction problems.
Despite the lack of treatment options, there have been breakthroughs in Duluth's heroin problem. Narcan, a nasal spray that reverses opioid overdoses, has become more available.
I mean, there's so many that say, hey, if we would have had Narcan, or, you know, this person would be alive, you know. I think lots of times when people get clean, too, they, in this case with a friend of mine, like, she was 32, just recently, like, clean for 7 months, and then you decide to go use again, and there's no tolerance, so... I mean, if that family would have had Narcan available, she probably would have lived, but she didn't. So, yeah, I think it's important for families and friends and everybody to have that on hand.
The CADT also hosts a syringe exchange with the Rural AIDS Action Network. Syringe exchanges are still sometimes considered controversial, but Olson says they are imperative in keeping heroin users alive long enough to get them into treatment.
The Rural AIDS Action Network got a grant from the state of Minnesota to set up syringe exchanges, and they've been doing that in Duluth now for a couple of years. And I think they have somewhere between 500 and 700 people that visit the syringe exchange. And the other thing about the syringe exchange is people who come into the syringe exchange are aware of the dangers and risks of injecting drugs. So they've already taken a step in the right direction. So what the next step for us is to reach out to those people and make sure that when they're ready to get help, that help is available. So it's a perfect opportunity to educate them as well as open the door to getting away from the injecting drug use culture and moving toward recovery. Minnesota Department of Health says within a year, an injecting drug user has about a 60% chance of contracting hepatitis C, which is a chronic, long-term, and potentially fatal disease. So this transmission of blood-borne diseases like HIV, AIDS, and hepatitis C are a huge public health concern. So we have to get those people into treatment. And the idea is moving people from an uncontrolled, unsupervised pattern of drug use into a stable recovery environment with medication to stabilize them while they work on the psychosocial treatment.
Positive changes have been made, but it's likely that Duluth's heroin epidemic is far from over.
Once drugs are established in a community, and this is true worldwide and it's been true for 1,000 years, it never goes away completely. So eliminating it completely is not even realistic, and it's not happened anywhere in the world that I know of at any time that I know of. So our approach needs to be more on keeping people alive, because ultimately, people don't realize this, but ultimately most alcoholics and addicts do get into recovery, but it sometimes takes a long time. And with this epidemic, people are often die before they get in recovery. So we have to keep, number one is keeping people alive.
For KUMD in Duluth, I'm Audrey Summers.